And I was jogging back to my dugout and so forth to our team's bench, and I had taken off my helmet. Well, there was this boy who was hitting stones with a bat in back of the backstop, and he proceeded to hit me in the head right here. And if you look very closely, I got a scar right here from that, and went to the hospital with a concussion. I got a scar right here when I fell on some glass. I won't show you that one. I got a scar right here where I fell off a bike, you know. Got a scar, I think it was this side or this side above my eye, where I was got some stitches playing basketball and so forth. But we have scars. And as we know, Jesus had scars. Jesus was scarred for us. And the disciple Thomas, after Jesus was crucified, and after Jesus rose from the dead, he was really struggling with his faith, Thomas was. And Thomas said, unless I see the marks in his hands and the marks in Jesus' side. And I'd like us to turn to John chapter 20 to see how Thomas was feeling after Jesus rose from the dead and he had not yet seen Jesus. In John chapter 20, verse 24, it says, now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So Thomas wasn't with the rest of them when Jesus showed up to them. So the other disciples told Thomas, we have seen the Lord. But Thomas said to them, unless I see the nail marks, unless I see the scars in his hands, and put my fingers where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. He said, I will not believe it. There was an issue of his will where he was choosing not to believe unless he sees these marks in his hands and in his side. Well, a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. And Thomas believed God. You know, our children are naturally trusting. Aren't we glad that our children trust us as parents? Our children naturally trust us as parents. Our children naturally trust their teachers. But what about the rest of us? What about those of us who have grown up? Those of us who are in our 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s. Any grandparents here in their 80s? What about us? Do we trust the Lord? Thomas was honest with God about his doubts. He was honest with the Lord. And he asked God questions. All throughout the Gospel of John, we see that. I'd like us to turn to Isaiah chapter 53. And we'll see that Jesus was scarred for us. Isaiah 53, verse 4. It says, surely Jesus took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But Jesus was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. He took our punishment. He took our place. And by his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, the Lord laid on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Jesus was scarred for our sin. Earlier in John's Gospel, Thomas was honest with God. He was upfront with him. He didn't hold back. He asked the questions that he was dealing with, the doubts that he was dealing with. You know, we know Thomas is doubting Thomas. Thomas called Didymus, and he kind of gets a bad reputation. But there was a point at which Thomas knew that Jesus was going to a place that could bring him death. And Thomas said, let us also go with him, that we may die with him. So Thomas had some good qualities too. I think a lot of us are like Thomas. I know in my journey of faith, I've been like Thomas sometimes, where I've had to be honest with God, and I've had my doubts, and I've had to cry out to God and go on late night walks and say, Lord, all right, and just to reaffirm my faith before the Lord and have honest talks with God. You know, God can handle honest talks. God can handle our doubts. But He wants us to keep talking to Him and keep crying out to Him. Well, in John 14:5, Thomas said to Jesus, Lord, we don't know where You are going. So how can we know the way? How can we know the way? Thomas honestly wanted to know the way. And it's universal to all of us that we want to know the way. Don't you want to know where you're going? Maybe if you're going to work, or if you're going on vacation, or someone's taking you somewhere, you want to know where you're going. I know my wife and I, when we were dating, all right, we kind of like getting lost together, you know? All right? At least I did. I don't know if she did. Okay? But I think most of the time she wanted to know where we're going. If I was taking her out on a date, she wanted to know where we're going. We want to know the way. We want to know our destination. We want to know our purpose. We want to know our purpose for being here on this earth. Well, like Thomas, God encourages us to not hold back, to ask our questions, to really be honest with Him and cry out to Him, and not to lose hope, because when we become silent and we've just given up, all right, that's not good. But God wants us to cry out to Him and ask Him our questions and stay engaged with Him. Well, Jesus gave the answer to Thomas's question in John 14:6, and we sang about it today. I love singing these songs with the kids all week long. And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus didn't just give good advice. We can get good advice all over the place, on the TV, on the afternoon talk shows. He didn't give just good advice. Jesus gave Himself. And the answer to all of life's questions, all of the questions that we have, the answer to all of life is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not just us figuring out various things, how to take care of our problems, but the answer is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't give just nice sounding answers. He gave Himself. He said, I am the way. He said, I am the truth. You want truth. He said, I am the life, ever abundant life, a life of joy and peace, a life of meaning, a life of purpose, a life where you're feeling you're making a difference. I recently saw a very sad statistic where people were polled, and they were polled as to whether they felt their life was making a difference, whether they felt their life was really helping other people. And most people thought that, no, I'm not really helping other people. I'm not really making a difference with my life. Well, God wants you to know that you can make a difference with your life, where you can help other people on this earth. Jesus said that there is only one way to our eternal home with the Father, and that's through Him. There are many deceptive voices in our culture today, in secular society today, and it sounds nice. And you know, well, you can come to the Father, you can have eternal life this way, you can have eternal life that way. But there is only one way to the Father, and that is through Jesus Christ, having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And Jesus said in Matthew 18:3, He said, unless you become like little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Look at your child right now. Look at a child around you right now. Again, children are naturally trusting. They naturally trust the adults in their life. And the thing about coming to God, when you come to God, you have to trust Him. You have to place your faith in Jesus Christ. You can't figure it out rationally. Now, there are evidences all around us of God. God's creation. The Bible says God's creation speaks of a creator God. You can have evidences of God. But in the final analysis, you have to make a choice of your will. As we sang the song, you have to make a choice of your will that I will trust the Lord. I'm going to make that step of faith and I will trust the Lord. I'm going to put my faith in Jesus Christ. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to take God at His word. I'm going to believe this word that God wasn't lying or that God wasn't some crazy person. I'm going to believe that what His word says is true. I'm going to choose to trust God. It's called placing your faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus said right after that, He said, therefore, whoever humbles himself like this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. For many people, what is that thing that keeps us from making that choice, that choice of our will to trust God? Often it's our pride is what keeps us from making that choice. It takes humility to repent. It takes humility to say, I was wrong. I don't know if the little ones remember this, but some of the older ones. How many of you remember the sitcom Happy Days? Anyone here remember the sitcom Happy Days? You know, and the Fonz. You know, the Fonz was the cool one. All right, Henry Winkler, the Fonz. All right, and you know, he was just perfect. You know, every hair of his head was perfect and so forth and so on. I mean, he was it. He was happening. All right, I remember that one episode where, you know, he tried to say, I was wrong. And he couldn't say it. He said, I was woo. Yeah. He said, I am woo. Yeah. I am a woo. You know, he couldn't say, I am wrong. He just couldn't say those words, I am wrong. And it takes humility to say, I'm wrong. It takes humility to say, I'm sorry. It takes humility to say, I've done something wrong. Well, Jesus said, whoever humbles himself like this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. It takes humility to say, I'm wrong. It takes humility to say, I've been going in the wrong direction and I need to turn around. I need to make a 180-degree turn and go in the opposite direction. It takes humility to acknowledge that I'm a sinner, which that's what being wrong is. The Bible says, Jesus said, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so in order to come to Christ, there needs to be humility because you have to say, I'm wrong. You have to say, you have to acknowledge that you're a sinner. Hey, we have to acknowledge that we need somebody. We have to acknowledge that we need God. I need God. You need God. Everyone needs God. In order to come to God, we have to acknowledge our humility before the Lord. In relationships, work situations, financial challenges, the challenges of life, we all need God. You know, you can just keep hitting your head against the wall and saying, you know, I can depend upon myself. I can, in effect, save myself. I can do this myself. But until we come to that place of surrender and saying, Lord, I need You. I need You, Lord. I need You to save me. I need You to help me. We need to humble ourselves. Stop. And just say, Lord, I need You. And to understand our need. And to surrender our life to Christ. I want to encourage you today, let Jesus save you. Let Jesus save your life. Let Jesus take the reins of your life. And He will help you. And He will make the difference in your life. I want to ask you to make a choice today. A choice of your will. You may have had doubts like Thomas. But Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And then Jesus followed up from that and He said, you know, you have seen and you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. I want you to consider Jesus afresh today. I want you to consider how Jesus is reaching down to you with His open arms. And as the Word of God said, He says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet enemies of Him, He died for us. In Matthew 11:25, Jesus said, I praise You, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because You have hidden these things from the wise and learned, and have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was Your good pleasure. And Jesus said, come to Me. Come to Jesus, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I'd like us all to close our eyes and stand up. All right? And children, if we could just remain quiet for just a few minutes here. Let's all just stand up and close our eyes. I want to encourage you today that you can find your rest in Jesus. Let Jesus love you. Let Jesus care for you. Let Jesus teach you. When you become a disciple of Christ, yes, there's a yoke. But Jesus said that the yoke is easy. There's an ease to being yoked with Christ. When we're yoked with Christ, there's an anchor to our soul. We're not flitting about all over the place and not really grounded. But there's a yoke to Christ. But there's an ease to the yoke of Christ. As a disciple of Christ, yes, there's a burden. But Jesus said there's a lightness to His burden. There's a lightness to His yoke. Be yoked with Christ today. He'll walk with you and bring you into a whole new life. He'll teach you. He'll teach you of His gentleness and His humility of heart. And that gentleness and that humility of heart will be, that's the character of Christ. And as the character of Christ comes into your being, that will affect things like your relationships. That will affect the important areas of your life and really make a difference in your life. That gentleness and that humility of heart, that's learning of Christ. When we come to Christ, we don't just get all kinds of head knowledge. We learn of who He is. We learn of His character. And His character changes us. And it changes the things that are important to the true quality of our life. Learn what it means to walk in the grace and the favor of God. Be yoked to Christ today. Learn to rely on Christ. And make Christ your everything. I'm going to lead you in a prayer of salvation. And again, children, I just ask that you just remain quiet for these next few minutes. This is a very important time. Jesus is offering the free gift of salvation. But whenever there's a gift that has been offered, it's been paid for by somebody. When someone gives us a gift, they've paid for that gift. They've bought that gift from somewhere. Maybe they've paid for it through simply making it. But they've paid for it through time. Or they've paid for it through finances. Well, God the Father is offering a gift to us today. And the price, however, was the price of His Son. It was paid for through the death of Jesus Christ on a cross. The blood of Jesus Christ. And so it is a very, very precious gift. And yet God the Father is offering this gift to us today. And the Bible says, yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. The Bible says all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. So I'm going to lead you in a prayer, but salvation is of the Lord. It's between you and the Lord. So I encourage you, if you've never prayed this prayer, if you've never made a decision to follow Jesus and be His disciple, I encourage you to pray with me. Right now, say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for the price that You paid in sending Your Son Jesus to take my punishment and die on a cross for me. I thank You that Jesus rose from the dead. And right now, I receive the free gift of salvation. I thank You for making me Your child. I turn from my way and I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. Thank You for making me Your child. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to encourage you to consider this is your church home. We are a house of prayer for all nations. And as the mural, you might wonder, okay, what does that mural mean up there? What is that work of art mean up there? What it means is various nations from all over the world are streaming together up the mountain. The Bible says that all nations will stream up. Usually streams come down a mountain. But all nations would stream up to worship the Lord as one. You see the cross at the top of the mountain. And so we're a place where we believe all nations should come together to stream up the mountain to worship Christ as one. We're a place where you'll be able to walk together in family. You'll know your brothers and sisters in Christ. You'll be fed. You'll grow. And so I want to encourage you to consider, to invite you to consider this as your church family. The Lord bless you with His favor and grace.